Everybody say restoration. That's what we've been talking about, what we've been studying over the past several weeks. We're going to continue that today. But before we do, let me say hello to the campuses that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And I'm grateful that you're there today. I'm thankful for what God is doing at each location of Love and Truth Church. Doesn't matter where it is, we believe God's doing something great. So we're glad you're there today. Let's make our confession together. If you got your Bible or maybe you've got the Word of God downloaded on a smart device, let's hold that up. All of you joining with us, let's do this together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Now take that word today and let's go to the book of Luke where we've been over the past couple of weeks as we've looked at this subject of restoration. Jesus speaking here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me," Jesus says, "to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, we begin the first week talking about how that Jesus Christ has restored to us everything that mankind lost in the Garden of Eden. And when we begin to look at that, there were basically three things that I found as I was studying this over the past several months as I was putting this series together that you and I lost because of the fall of man. The first one was mankind lost their identity as the children of God. And we talked in that first week about how that we know that they lost their dignity because they're hiding, they're afraid to come out when God shows up in the cool of the day. They lost their dignity in that moment. And yet, Jesus Christ came. That's what Calvary was all about. That's what the resurrection is all about. That's even what the temptations were all about that Jesus went through. We talked about that. How that you and I can now come back into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're listening to me today and you haven't made that decision, the first thing you've got to do to be restored into God's kingdom and everything he has for you is that you've got to ask him to forgive you of your sins, ask him to come into your life to cleanse you and make you whole. And in that moment, the Bible says you leave the kingdom of darkness and you come into the kingdom of God's dear son. Now, last week we talked about authority. The second thing that we lost our authority. The Bible says it this way in the book of Psalms. It says, "The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to man." And yet we know that Adam and Eve, because of their sin, lost their authority. In other words, they lost their jurisdiction upon this earth, the responsibility that God had given them. And we talked last week, I'll talk a little bit about it today, of how we get that authority back. The third thing that they lost, and what I'm going to talk about for the next 2 weeks, is they lost their power. There's something that happens to us when we get out of alignment with God. It's kind of like your body. When your body gets out of alignment, whether that's an internal thing or your spine or whatever, when you get out of alignment, you lose your power. You lose that ability to function in the power that God has. And so mankind sinned, and because of that, they got out of alignment with the Lord, and they lost their power. Now, how do we get, let's go back to authority just for a minute. How do we get that authority back? Well, the scripture talks about through water baptism. Book of Galatians says it this way, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." So when we come to that place where we make that decision to be baptized, in that moment, what we find is that true faith, when you want to look at what true faith really is, true faith results in obedience. Okay? Now, people say, "Well, I committed my life to Christ." Well, if you committed your life to Christ, listen to Pastor, if you committed your life to Christ, then you will follow him in the waters of baptism. All right? People say, "Well, I don't think baptism is important." Well, the scripture does. Oh, help me. All right, I don't want to preach that sermon from last week, okay? Baptism is vital. Baptism is important. What baptism means I have turned from my old life. The Word of God lets us know that is a declaration that I have left that old life and now I'm walking with the Lord. Baptism means I am identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when people are baptized today, or when people are baptized at any time, what they're doing is that they're being baptized out of that old life and into the life that Jesus Christ has for us. But now watch this. The reason that we're baptized, the reason baptism is so needful and it's so much talked about in the New Testament. I mean, every place you see people getting saved, their next thing that they do is they get baptized, okay? And in the church, it's kind of like, well, you can be baptized if you want to. You don't have to be. No, we need to emphasize what the Scripture emphasizes. Amen? We need to talk about what the Word of God talks about, and baptism is one of those things. Baptism means I am receiving the authority to exercise jurisdiction. Now, I spent a lot of time on this last week. I won't take long today because I want to get into the power aspect. But what I'm talking about are the legal decisions that God has given the body of Christ. The Bible says that whatever the church binds on earth will what? Be bound in heaven, and whatever we release on earth will be released in heaven. Well, how do we do that? We do that through the authority that we are given when we are baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked about last week how the Scripture says that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's that whole understanding. Let's do it this way. I'll give you a couple of illustrations. It's that understanding when that husband and wife get married, that when she takes his name, that in that moment she now has authority to use what he has. But let's even go a little bit deeper. The Word of God says that Jesus one night was out, and they said a guy named Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and said to him, "What do I do to get saved?" And he said, "You got to be born again." And he looked at Jesus and said, "What am I going to do? Enter my mother's womb again?" Jesus said, No. He said, "That which is born of water is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And we find that whole connotation there where Jesus illustrates new birth, the birth of a Christian, to the birth that is in the natural aspect, okay? And so here's what we understand. When mom and dad come together, and I'm not going to give you a biology lesson, okay? But in that moment, when that seed and that egg come together, life happens, right? Amen. I believe as a Christian that life begins at conception. So when somebody comes to the Lord and says, "Lord, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior," conception happens and life begins in Christ. But how many of you know that's not the fullness of life? Amen. Right? You women who have been pregnant, you know you don't want to be pregnant the rest of your life. Right? Come on. You want to bring forth. And what happens to that is that we even talk about it. We talk about a lady's water breaks, okay? Well, that's what baptism is. Baptism is that breaking of the water. And guess what happens when that happens? When that child comes out, then that child gets its name and it is identified with a family. Meaning that now that child is identified with that family. Well, when you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are identified with the family of God, and now you have the authority to use God's name, which the Bible says that the name, the highest name, is the name of Jesus, and that every knee bows at that name, and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And so when we understand that gives us the authority that we want to walk in. And so if you weren't here last week, get it, go online, listen to it, whatever, because I want to get in today. I want to talk about power, because not only do you need authority, okay? Let's do it this way. Authority is your badge, right? Authority says policeman or whatever. Authority is the badge. Power is the gun. But power is not only the gun. Power is also what's backing you, all right? So when a policeman stops you, yes, he's got a badge, but he's also got a gun, but he's also got a government that's standing behind him that is enabling him to do what he wants to do. Now, the Word of God says in the book of Acts, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, right? That's where we find ourselves, coming to that place of power. It's not enough just to receive authority. We're kind of like Barney Fife. A lot of Christians get baptized, but they never receive power. A lot of Christians say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and that's wonderful, but it's kind of like carrying your bullet around in your front pocket. If you need it, it's going to take you a while to get it. By then, you're probably already dead. Come on, y'all not ever watch Andy Griffin? Am I the only one? All right? And so what we have to come to an understanding is that there is an undoing of power. In fact, Jesus told the disciples to go back and wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. The book of Acts, the second chapter, tells us that this happened on the day of Pentecost, and it said, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house, and it said, and there appeared unto them tongues like fire that set upon them, and they began to speak in tongues and magnify God. And when they did, this whole entourage of people in the city show up to see what's going on and what's taking place. Now, let's back that train up just a little bit, though, and let's look at what happened with Jesus at his baptism, okay? Now, please go with me in this. I believe that Jesus was fully God and fully man from the time he was born. I don't have a bit of problem with that. But something supernatural happened to Jesus at his baptism. All right? It is not until his baptism till he goes forth in the power of the Spirit and begins his ministry. Now, he's fully God, he's fully man, but something happens at that moment. Now, if you remember the setting there, he goes to John the Baptist to be baptized. And the Scripture says, John says, no, you baptize me. And Jesus said, no, to fulfill Scripture, baptize me. And when he did, two things happen. One is, there's a voice from heaven that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So we're going to see the whole aspect of the Godhead revealed here. We hear the Father speaking, this is my beloved Son. Well, the Son is being baptized, but the Bible says, and then the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. Now, I know what we've done. We've made the Holy Spirit a dove. I don't think the Holy Spirit looks like a dove. All right? It doesn't say the Holy Spirit looked like a dove. It said it descended like it. In other words, it settled upon Jesus like a dove landing. Every church almost uses, you know, a picture of the dove to symbolize the Holy Spirit. And I guess that's okay, but I don't think that's what Scripture is saying. I think it's just saying to us, look, the Holy Spirit came gently upon Jesus, and in that moment, some things transpired. So let's look at what happened. The first thing was the Holy Spirit, first of all, came on Jesus' body. All right? When you receive the Holy Spirit, when you receive your power, it's going to come on your body. Amen. It can't come anywhere else but on your body because you are a body. Now, yes, I know you are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body, but if the Holy Spirit is going to come, the first thing that it's going to do is going to come on your body. Now, remember I told you this all goes back to the book of Genesis. It's about restoration. Remember, mankind was given authority and power upon this earth. The only way for us to ever get back our authority and our power was for another man to come and restore that back to us. The reason that it is important, watch this, the reason that it is important that Jesus was born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit is that he has to be both God and man so that you and I can be restored back into what God has for us. Okay? He can't just be another man because that's not going to be enough. And he can't come just as God. He has to come in flesh because it is mankind that's given the authority and the power upon this earth. All right? Now, watch what happens here. When that happened to Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came and descended upon him bodily, now humanity had the power of God on earth legally again. Don't miss it. See, let me jump ahead to next week. The whole aspect of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is not about speaking in tongues. If it's about speaking in tongues, we're going to start teaching Spanish and two or three other languages because we all need them. Right? But that it's not it now. I'll talk next week about what I believe the Scripture says about the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here's what you have to understand: the purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit is to give us the power legally again upon this earth, so that when Satan comes in, the Bible says, like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. Well, here's what we need to understand. Now that we are in the New Testament, now that we are post Calvary, the Lord is not raising up a standard against the enemy. You are raising up a standard against the enemy. Well, I got so much to get through today. All right, listen to me. We keep waiting around for God to do stuff, and God says, I've already done it. Jesus cried out, it is finished. He has descended into hell. The Bible says he came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he made an open show of Satan. He hung out with the disciples and the believers for about 40 days, and then he ascended back into the heavenlies, and he said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. What Jesus is saying to us is, look, I am no longer operating with my authority and my power on this earth without man. Now mankind has been given authority and power once again. Okay. Let's talk about it a little bit, all right? We have been given delegated authority. But not only do I need authority, I need power. Amen? When I begin to understand that, the disciples said to Jesus at one point, Lord, you gave us power and authority to drive out the demons and heal the sick and all these things, proclaim the kingdom of God and all this. And they're all excited about that. And Jesus has to explain to them that this is but for a season, because remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, there is coming a day, all right? You ever read this? There is coming a day that if you ask anything in my name of the Father, he'll do it for you. Now, I'm going to go somewhere. I looked up that word, anything. Yeah, you know where I'm going with it, right? You know what it means? Anything. Right? It didn't mean some things, but not the other. It means anything. Now, the way that that happens is through the authority that we've been given, but I've also got to have the power in my life as well. See, here's the deal. We needed the power that God has of the Holy Spirit to exercise dominion upon this earth. All right? Again, it's not enough just to have authority. You've got to have power. Come on, and I shouldn't even tell this. I don't know anybody else. You're more spiritual than I am, I'm sure. One of my favorite shows to watch is Cops. Amen. What you gonna do, what you know. All right? And it's interesting to me to watch how some people respond to authority. But there are other people who are wearing somebody else's pants with somebody else's drugs in their pocket. Could I wear your pants today? I'm not going to check the pockets. I'm just going to wear them, and I'm going to get caught, and I'm going to blame it on you, right? Okay, let's go. Let's keep moving, okay? If you get caught, I'm not going there, all right? Okay? But some of them have to have some power. Some of them have to be taken down, whether that's a taser, something got to bring. Why? Because they don't respond to authority. See, the reason that you and I need power is because there are enemies that are coming against you that will not stop just for authority. But when you take authority and power, the Bible says that even the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. See, power is the ability to enforce the attributes of the kingdom. Right? That's what power is all about. It's to enable us to enforce what the kingdom is. Jesus said, when you pray, pray, kingdom of God come, will of God be done on earth as it what? Is in heaven. Well, when I begin to see what's happening in heaven, Scripture says that I'm to bring those attributes to the earth. You know what will turn our nation around? You know what will bring people to Christ? Is when they see the kingdom of God come to earth. Amen. When they see us operating in the power of the Holy Spirit that changes lives, that cuts through situations, that brings authority in those moments, then they're going to see it. See, here you have to understand, the power is about what is backing you, okay? What is it that's backing you? Well, here's what I found out. The King of Kings backs us. Amen. Of His kingdom there shall be no end, the Bible says. So when you begin to understand that, the Scripture says it this way. It says that this same power that raised Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal body. And we've used that so many times saying, well, that's about going to heaven. It's not about going to heaven. It's about what God wants to do right now, right here upon this earth through the believers. All right? So what's this whole thing about the power of the Holy Spirit? And in fact, that's why I'm taking 2 weeks, because it's one of those subjects that there's no way that I can wrap it all into one sermon, all right? And so I'm just going to give you some things out of the book of Acts, okay? In Acts chapter 2, they receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, you read that whole setting there. They receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then the next several chapters, and I didn't have time to go through the whole book of Acts, so I just went through about the first 7 chapters. I want to show you what the power of the Holy Spirit does when it comes into the life of a believer. The first thing that happened is in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Peter preaches, and the Bible says when he did, it says the people heard this, and they were cut to their heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? The first thing that the power of the Holy Spirit does is that it convicts people of their sin. Now, let me say something to you. If you are filled, everybody looking at me, if you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes you don't even have to open your mouth. Now look, I love all the techniques that we've been taught through the years on how to share the gospel, whether it's evangelism explosion or the four spiritual laws or whatever it is that you learned in some seminar somewhere. But if it's not backed up by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's just rhetoric. It's just talking. But if we come to that place in the moment where we understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is light, and when light penetrates darkness, darkness backs up. There are times you will walk into situations and the power of the Holy Spirit will convict people and you didn't open your mouth and they don't even know what's happened. It's just the power of the Spirit of God that's inside of you. All right? So you need the power of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that it does is found in the 3rd chapter. Again, don't have time to read it all. It's Peter and John on their way to prayer. They saw a lame man there at a gate called Beautiful. He's looking at them saying, I need money, I need money. And Peter says, my wife's got it all. Okay, I read between the lines. He said, I don't have any. But he said, what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And the Bible says he bent down, took him by the hand, and instantly the man is healed and begins to jump around, praise God, and do all kinds of things. So the second thing the power of the Holy Spirit does is that it heals. The power of the Holy Spirit heals people physically. Okay? We've got to come to that place where we still believe that the church has the power to heal. Amen. Listen, we've given up on it too easily. We said, well, we prayed for so-and-so, and they didn't get healed. Okay, I got it. Let me just say this to you. You can't do worse than I've done. You're looking at me. You say, what do you mean? I've prayed for people who have died. Sometimes as I'm praying. Now you're really nervous if I walk in your hospital room, aren't you? Say, don't send pastor, send somebody else. I don't want him coming, okay? I've had my hand on people praying for them who the Lord said this is the moment they're coming home, okay? But here's what I know. I don't quit praying for people to be healed just because somebody doesn't get healed. Amen. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. So the power of the Holy Spirit brings healing. And so one of the reasons I need it is I need the Holy Spirit in my life, and I need the power of the Holy Spirit so I can walk in health, but I also need it so I can release that healing into other people's bodies and see what God wants to do on this earth for them as well. Does that make sense? The third thing that it does is it gives us boldness, okay? Acts chapter 4, we find that the apostles, a couple of them, get taken, they get beaten because they're preaching Jesus, and the Bible says finally they let them go, and they go and they have a prayer meeting. Now, can you imagine? You've been thrown in jail, they've whipped you, and now you leave, and what you decide to do is let's go pray a while, right? Help me, Lord. I was going to be getting in a lot of trouble, all right? I've seen people who somebody didn't speak to at church get offended and leave the church. These guys just got beat. And where do they go? They go to church. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Hey, you're here. You can say amen. Acts chapter 4 talks about this. They got ahead of me. Acts chapter 4 talks about, it says, and they prayed, and the place that they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So now, and the Bible goes on and says, and they spoke the word of God, how? Boldly, right? They spoke the word of God boldly. So the power of the Holy Spirit gives you boldness. Jesus said it this way. He said, you're going to receive power, and after you receive that power, you're going to be witness of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This same guy, I mean, think about this. This same guy, Peter, who denies the Lord 50 days later, stands up in front of thousands and thousands of people and begins to declare who Jesus is, and he's no longer afraid. Now he's bold. Amen. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, does in your life. The fifth chapter is an interesting chapter. It starts off where everybody's bringing their money of what they've sold, and they're laying it at the apostles' feet, the Bible says, so that the widows and the orphans and everybody can be taken care of in the church. And there's this mass movement of that. Well, there's a couple in the church who sell a piece of property, and they decide to keep some of it back. Now, you know what? That was fine. There was nothing wrong in that. They didn't have to give any of it. They could have given half of it. They could have given two-thirds. But what happened is they show up at church, and a guy named Ananias is the husband. He walks up, and Peter looked at him, and Peter said, you said you sold it for such and such amount. Did you really? And the guy said, oh, yes, Peter, we sold it for $100,000. And the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter, and he said, why did you lie against the Holy Spirit? And the Word of God says that when he said that, this guy falls dead. Just got quiet. You think I'm going to preach on people falling dead, don't you? All right. It says a little bit later, his wife came in, and Peter looked at her and said, did you sell it for $100,000? She said, oh, yeah, we did. He said, the same guys that took your husband out are coming after you, and she falls dead. Now, you only have to do that once. That next Sunday, when everybody comes to church, they're telling the truth. There's nobody going to lie at church the next Sunday. You're going to sit in the parking lot for it. In fact, you're going to get here early and pray and say, God, if there's anything, am I the only one? I know it wasn't funny they died, but am I the only one that sees the humor in this? There is nobody. In fact, the Scripture goes on to say, and none dared join themselves to the church. Well, of course. But then it goes on to say, and the Lord added to the church, and the church was multiplied. All right, why? Because, now here's what happens here, okay? The fourth thing is you get discernment, all right? You get discernment. Discernment comes through the Holy Spirit. Well, and you know, there are situations that you need the power of the Holy Spirit to tell you what somebody's of. Just because somebody says, Lord, Lord, does not mean they're of the Lord. I encounter situations all the time that I need discernment in. I need to know, is this person what they say they are? Or are they ministering in some kind of a fashion that's unlike the? You need discernment in your life, and the Holy Spirit brings it. The fifth thing that comes is wisdom, according to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, they got all this stuff going on. They got widows not being taken care of and people not getting their needs met. And the Bible says that the apostles said, look, we're going to pray, and we want you to get men who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom so they can minister in this time and in this place. The Spirit of God brings wisdom. The power of God brings wisdom so you know what to do when you're facing situations in those moments that you don't know what it is that you need to do. And the last thing that it brings is that it brings revelation into your life. The book of Acts, the seventh chapter, is the story of Stephen. And again, I'm doing this quickly today, but it's the story of Stephen who stands up and preaches Jesus. And the Bible says in the 55th verse, as they get ready to kill Stephen, it says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There's a revelation that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons I believe with all of my heart that the church is as ineffective as we are in our culture is because we don't talk enough about the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what I'll say to you. Next week, I'm going to delve in a little bit deeper. We're going to talk about how it's exhibited, how you receive it, etc. But here's what I know. When I teach on this, somebody will say, yeah, but Pastor, I've been in churches and I've been in meetings where, it just got crazy. So have I. I've seen some of the dumbest stuff in church that I've seen anywhere. But it doesn't mean I'm going to quit going to church. Amen. I've seen people who claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit do some of the weirdest things imaginable. But that doesn't mean there's not power still available to the church. And so instead of us getting turned off by the excesses of a few, why don't we open ourselves to say, God, whatever it is that you have, I want it in my life. And here's my challenge to you over the next week. I challenge you to read the book of Acts. Just take it over the next several days, this next week before we gather again, and read the book of Acts and read it from the perspective of what happened when they received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And look at how many places this power was given to people in the New Testament church. When you do, you will be astounded that the church has a tendency not to talk about what the book of Acts talks about almost in every chapter. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to restore that power to us. Now, how do we get there? Well, first of all, it's through Jesus Christ. You and I, he told the apostles, he said, go wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Another time he said, it's not good for me to be with you. He said, I need to go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit. All right? So it comes through Jesus Christ. And let me say it again. You can't skip over the process. The process is I've got to get my identity first. I've got to become a child of God first. If you're here today or if you're watching me today and you haven't committed your life to Christ, the very first thing you've got to do is ask Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior. The second thing that you need to do is that you need to follow Him in the waters of baptism. That is where the authority that we lost in the book of Genesis is restored back to the believer in their life. And then thirdly, we need to be open to receive everything that God has for us, to receive His power into our life, and that comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we're going to talk about next week and see how it operates in our lives. So it's through Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's available to every believer. The power of the Holy Spirit's not for just a certain few. It's for, the Bible says it's for all. That's us. That's every one of us. We have that ability. And then lastly, it's what we need. The restoration of the power is what I need. It's what you need. It's what the church needs in this day and age that we're living in. Listen, and I'll close with this. When you study the book of Acts, what you find is you find an explosion of church growth. All right? I mean, they go from 120 in an upper room to 3,000 in one day. That's pretty good church growth. Amen? They go a little bit later there where I read to you in Acts, the third chapter, and it says, and 5,000 are added to the church. So you've gone from 120 to 3,000, now to 8,000. I mean, that's within just a matter of days, okay? And then as you continue to read the book of Acts, you'll find that it says, and the churches were multiplied. And then it says, and myriads, which are tens of thousands, and myriads were added to the church. Some historians tell us, who study church history, tell us that Jerusalem is somewhere 300 to half a million people, and that by the time of the dispersion at 70 AD, that somewhere over 150,000 people in Jerusalem itself had been won to Jesus Christ. Now let me show you something and I'm done. When you study the book of Acts, every time that there is revival, there is something supernatural that takes place. It's not just proclamation. In fact, the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, I didn't come to you with proclamation. He said, I didn't come to you with just words. He said, I came to you with demonstration and power. He said, it's not enough just to declare Jesus Christ is Lord. He said, there needs to be the power of the Holy Spirit being released among the people of God so that when they encounter the world, that people see their lives being transformed. And let me say this. I get three closings, remember? All right? Let me say this. When you study the book of Acts, the majority of it didn't happen at church. It happened outside the church. If we would take the power of God that's in us and reach into the world, we could be like the disciples who the Bible said turned their world upside down for Jesus. That's what we're called to do. Amen.